is the Unapologetically Black Podcast.
Understanding that your blackness is part of your greatness.
Blackness just comes from being me, and that's it.
Men are allowed to do whatever the fuck they want to do. They can be cheaters, they can be liars, but women are expected to be righteous.
So if you're someone who in a concert you're going to say the N-word, in my opinion, at home you're going to say it as well. In friendship, there's someone who deposits and there's someone who withdraws. You don't want to be the friend that's keep depositing and the person that keeps withdrawing.
Poor people don't have time for depression.
I'm so tired.
Banning abortions doesn't actually reduce abortion.
But actually, if my mental health is not okay, I can't help you in any capacity.
I mean, my entire life, I've lived under the gaze of my parents.
Fuck that shit.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Dig Deep. If it's your first time listening, this is an episode where myself and Leanne ask each other a series of questions to get to know each other a bit more, and we take you guys on that journey with us. So we hope you enjoy this episode. Leanne, how are we?
I am good. Feeling very energized, ready to take on the day. I'm about to spend the day. I'm going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do some work. I'm going to cook a very extravagant dinner for no reason.
This is what we love.
I'm baking brownies.
Oh.
I'm going to make homemade sorbet.
Wow.
I'm turning up. Yeah.
You're in your middle class housewife bag today. Yeah. I love this for you.
I definitely am. And have been for a little while, actually. The past couple of weeks, I've been like cooking up a storm. I've been like really just like getting shit done. I'm in my bag today.
What's created the shift, do you think?
I've been traveling a lot this year, and I think this month is the first month where I've really gotten a chance just to be here. And I really miss, I think, you know, whenever I feel homesick for something, doesn't have to be a place, person, thing, whatever, I revert to food. And I revert to cooking because, you know, I love to feed people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I genuinely was having this pang of like missing London this past week. And I was just like, I'm just going to cook as if I was cooking Sunday dinner for Roshan and Jolene and Kemi and whoever else would have been coming over on a Sunday, Michael, Marshall, potentially. And yeah, and just like do the damn thing and like, not just cook what I always cook, but also try something new, which is where the sorbet came into play.
Well, that sounds very exciting. Won't say that I'm jealous. Haven't had one of your Sunday meals in a while, but kudos to Barry. He's going to get to enjoy.
I was going to say, I guarantee you and ask me for the update next week that Barry's going to cuss because he's going to say, why you cook all this food? No, we're not here to eat it. Blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, watch this space.
Stay tuned, guys, next week for the update. But I was going to ask you, yeah, have you now finished EMDR?
No, I am. So I'm in my, in the fourth stage.
Okay.
That's the right, there's four stages, right?
I don't know, because I guess every therapist can do it in their own sort of way.
So in my case, we've had four stages. One, identifying a safe memory.
Right.
Two, identifying like what is the core issue that keeps like resurrecting, et cetera, et cetera. What is a memory of that feeling? And then we've done one session of tapping / rapid eye movement.
Oh, okay. I get what you mean. I did that same process. Yeah. I just don't think my therapist told me it was going to be split into the four.
In that way.
And also, I don't know, for you, when you're saying like the sections, like finding the safe space, for me, that was like really quick because I had done that in a different type of therapy before. So I just used the same one, if you get what I mean.
And it took me a while to find one.
Right.
It took me a while to find one. So now we're in the stage where... and this is interesting. I don't know. I actually was going to ask you about this anyway, so find time to bring it up. In this last session where we're doing the actual tapping and eye movement, you know, you're supposed to focus on like a very specific memory
yeah.
thing. my mind keeps shifting to different things. It's like one thing leads to another thing, leads to another thing. Is that normal? Because part of the reason that I think this is not going the way it's supposed to go in my head is because I keep thinking that I'm not doing it right.
No, I think that's normal. I think that's normal. Because what I was actually going to ask you, my next question was going to be, because I thought this whole time you was doing tapping, So my next question would have been, has anything came up that surprised you? So when I used to do tapping, I would focus on a core memory, which was me in a house on the top of the stairs. That's where the memory would always start. And then we'd always travel back and travel forward with the memory, and I'd always stop like at a window, basically. And so sometimes I'd go from that to like thinking of my little sister in my bedroom here where I live now. So your brain would always shift, but you just work with it. And actually the beauty of following that shift and just going with it and not being scared to allow your brain to take you to that new place is that sometimes the learning is in the crux of that new place that you've gone to. So I think I've mentioned this before on the pod, but when I had that memory, it made me realize that the relationship I had with my siblings at the time, where I'd want to be with them every weekend and looking after them, came from an innate need to protect them, because they were at the same age or similar age to the incident that brought me to doing the EDMR therapy in the first place.
Right.
Do you get what I mean?
Right.
So like, when you go, it's fine. And sometimes your therapist might say, okay, try and go back. If you've gone, like, sometimes I'll be thinking about what I'm going to eat. What's in the fridge? What's happening? Do you get what I mean? And I feel like that's all part of it. Like, I wouldn't stress about that. I think that's fine. But I think if you're trying to connect and you're tapping and then your brain's going, that's one thing. But if you're connecting and you're actually scared of what's going to come up, or you're trying to avoid the emotion of whatever you're going to tap into, and that's what's making you think about your macaroni and cheese in the fridge, that's a bit different.
Got you.
It's up to you to decide which part of the coin you're on.
I mean, we'll see. I definitely feel like now it's interesting that I've been having, because she was like, watch what happens after you leave the session. And I was saying to her, during the session I was having like very physical reactions to what we were doing, like either like a heaviness in my chest or at some point in time, like my left hand started to hurt me.
Right.
Which was really weird, because she was like, the hand thing, I don't get it. And so she was like, just keep paying attention to those things, even when we're not actively in a session.
So do you like write it down?
Those things will pop up afterwards. Yeah. So she was like, write it down. I mean, this literally happened like 3 days ago. So, I'm continuing to go through that journey. We'll see what happens.
And I don't want to know this, and definitely not on the podcast, but do you know your core memory now that you're focusing on?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, so for context of people listening, when Leanne said she was going to do MDR therapy, the reason why she said she was going to do it, correct me if I'm wrong, was because she can't remember what happened pre her being either age 8 or age 10. And so she wants to tap into that memory. So the reason why I'm asking if she has a memory is because the whole point of it is to tap into a memory. So the hardest point, I assume, would have been the starting point. So it's good that you found that to then be able to like tap into. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah, the journey continues. I don't know what happens next, but
so you basically just keep tapping every session.
Oh, okay.
You just keep doing. Well, in my experience, I basically tap the whole session, and obviously my situation was probably a bit different to yours. But like when I went, I don't know if I told you this before, but I went because of like a robbery experience that I had when I was 8. Mm-hmm. So by the time I started, when I was tapping, I could feel it in my body. I was taken back there. Mm-hmm. It was as scary on my first tap as it was on the day it happened. And by the time I ended tapping, it wasn't. Which is why I can talk to you about it freely now.
Right.
I'm not gonna feel sad or impacted afterwards. And that's why I always say, like, therapy is so crazy. Cause I literally went from talking about it and like not even that's why I asked you about, are you running away from the memory? Cause I think at the start I would change things. I didn't want to be back there. Do you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I never did this. By the end of therapy, or like close to the end of it, I remember feeling brave enough to be like, I'm gonna drive back there to the place and sit outside of my car, because now that place isn't a scary place to me.
do you know what? You've never actually told me the reason that you went to therapy, EMDR, until now. That's the first time you've shared that.
Oh, not the growth, darling. You knew that happened to me though, didn't you?
No.
Oh, wow. That's a story for another day. Even on the podcast, yeah. Just maybe not today, because that story is a bit deep. All right, we're going to need a few trickle ones at the top. But that experience, that is what has perpetuated the anxiety that I have today. So when I talk about having complex PTSD, that came from that experience.
Mm.
That's like...
It's interesting.
Yeah, that was the first time I experienced trauma at the age of 8. Woo, we love this for me.
On that note, let me start with a light question.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Dig deep.
Okay. This is an interesting question because I don't know if you're an animal person.
Absolutely not.
But if you could have an animal as a sidekick for a day, just for a day, since you're not an animal person, we don't need to keep it as a pet. What would it be and what would you guys do?
I would definitely have a leopard. Yeah, because I got a picture of myself when I was younger with a leopard in a cage. And I said, like, well, I'm bad gyal. So I would definitely have a leopard. And I'll just walk around and be that bitch. You know those women that have the really pretty dogs? And in the world of dog lovers, you know that dog is the bougie dog. Like, that dog is a top front dog. That dog costs £1 million. When I have the leopard and I'm walking through Oxford Street.
Check me,
bitch. You thought you was cool with your little greyhound, whatever, your little Labrador, poodle. And look at me now with my leopard. That's actually what I would do. I would just stand, sprinkle, sprinkle. I would just walk around. I would have no activity but to walk around.
Okay, fair.
Because I'm not really like an animal person per se, but I just think it would be interesting to be an animal person for the day and actually see what the interaction's like. Because I always say to my friends, when you have a dog, there's so much organic conversation that happens with strangers because of it. People come up to you like, oh, dog's very cute. Boy or girl, how long have you had them? What's their name? What's the breed? Are they on a vegetarian diet? Like, it's like, wow. Is it a dog or your man? This is so intense. So I feel like I would have a leopard. And they're quite pretty.
They are. I love big cats. Yeah. Love big cats. I'm obsessed.
I would definitely have a leopard. Okay. Fair. What's a piece of advice or wisdom that you've been given from anyone at any point in your life that has stuck with you throughout the years or that has helped you throughout the years?
Okay. This is not necessarily good advice.
Okay.
However, it has stuck with me throughout the years and I have used it to my advantage from time to time. Not so much anymore because I'm trying to be a better person.
Because I gave myself my own answer to this question. It was to do with sex. So this is interesting that when it comes to, you know, advice or wisdom for our lives, this is what we focus on. But yeah.
I mean, there's obviously, we can always talk about the generic advice that you get, like always listen to your gut and, you know, okay, let me be wholesome. Let me live in my positive self.
Okay, and then I'll answer my own question and I'll give you the unwholesome version.
The unwholesome version was I had an ex-boyfriend who always cheated on me. And after we became friends, this was when I was a teenager. After we became friends and we were talking about it in banter, and he was like, you know, the secret to cheating is always tell the truth until you have to lie. So, like, don't create a lie from the get-go that you yourself have to remember and stick to. He was like, always just tell the necessary information.
Right.
Tell the truth. And then only lie when it is absolutely necessary. So
I agree with that.
Which I guess is good advice, even in the context that stands outside of cheating.
Yeah. And the wholesome one?
The wholesome one is my aunt and I were chit-chatting about relationships in general. We were chatting about many things, relationships in general. And my uncle walked into the room and he said, one of the biggest reasons that relationships fail and he's like, this is me holding women accountable, is that women are far too busy pleasing others instead of pleasing themselves.
Mm.
And you'll never be happy in a relationship until you start pleasing yourself first. And that definitely stuck with me because it is true, especially for people who are like empaths or givers or people pleasers. I'm sure one or both of us fit into at least one of those categories. It is so easy to pour into somebody else and to just deprioritize yourself. And what ends up happening is that you become resentful of the person that you're with because you end up pouring so much time into them with the expectation that you're going to get the same thing, right? Not that you demand it or require it, but it's just like, why wouldn't that be the case?
Yeah.
Because you're thinking in the same way that, you know, you're expecting the same thing of the other person that you are of yourself.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work that way. Like it's not true. And so I think there's something to be said for being accountable to yourself to make sure that you're not ever doing that because you can't expect someone to prioritize you before they prioritize themselves, because you shouldn't.
I was literally having this exact conversation with one of my friends this morning, and she was saying that she's like, oh my gosh, the guy that I went on a date with, I actually really like him, blah blah blah. She's like, I don't want to like someone so much, because she goes, look, I'm spending my Sunday thinking about him and like our date, and last week I was focusing on my business plans and this and that. And she was like, she's like, what I need to do is make sure that when I'm dating him, I just center myself in the middle and I don't center him in my world. And I said, the thing is that if your natural natural way of being is to center yourself, then actually what you need to do is actually look for someone who also is then what you should try and look for is someone who also centers you, because then it's also going to feel easily weighted, because then you're not going to yeah. feel like you have to not do your business thing on a Sunday, because by them centering you, they're going to say, have you hit your goals for this week for your business, because I know it's a priority for you, as opposed to you feeling like you can't do both. And so I feel like relationships, exactly. there's never a blueprint to it, I don't think, but I think sometimes when we get these little nuggets, we have to really apply it to ourselves, and it really does help. Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm. 100% completely agree.
Mine was gonna be, and I actually only thought about this as I asked you the question, so ages ago, and this wasn't meant to be advice, and it's gonna sound so wild when I first say it, yeah, but I was talking to my aunt about best friends, and she said, you keep talking about best friends, but do you know who your best friend is? It's your pussy. She goes, there's only one person in this world that knows exactly what you're up to and what you're doing and where you are. And that's your pussy. So don't mind nobody's business but you and your pussy. And, you know, at the time, we just laughed it off and we just thought it was really funny. But actually, talking to you today, I had a light bulb moment where I realized, in hindsight, it shifted my perspective on sexual liberation. You know, it shifted my perspective mm-hmm. on the ability to have sex for myself and not for somebody else. It shifted my perspective on sex being something that was for men as opposed to for me. And I just feel like that was all. That's all. It wasn't meant to be that, but that's the impact that it had on myself.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, it is so, you will never be satisfied if you are waiting on somebody else to please you or make you happy in any way. And I know there's this whole thing about like stepping into your feminine energy and letting, you know, the man take care of things. That's fine. No problem with that. I would love for that to happen more and more and more as my life goes on. But also, it is not their responsibility, and it's not incumbent upon them to make sure of that. Like, if it happens, then great. If it doesn't, what are you going to do? Like,
get my toy, bitch. No, I'm joking.
Okay. That was relatively light. I'm getting better.
Until the next one.
Jesus. If you had to describe our friendship as a movie genre, what would it be and what would be the plot twist?
As a movie genre, it's definitely action and fucking adventure. Okay, because between the both of us, there's always something going on in our lives. At what point have we ever just both had nothing going on? There's always something going on in our lives. So it's definitely action adventure. And the plot twist is going to be when one of us win the lottery. That's what it's going to be. Because all my travel goals and all your travel dreams, they'll be met. So that'll be the plot twist.
Okay, fair.
I think that'll be the podcast.
That's actually a good, that's a good one. Go for it with your trauma questions.
Well, I was trying to work out which ones. Let's go deep. All right. Is there a part of yourself that you struggle to accept? Or what part of yourself took the longest for you to accept?
Good question. I think the part of myself that I continue to struggle with, but I'm slowly learning to accept about myself, is I don't know, I'm not accepting it about myself, but learning how to make accommodations for it, is that every time I have a new task or I have a big thing to accomplish, there's always like a level of anxiety that precedes it. And I'm learning to just accept that that is part of my process, rather than
run away from the anxiety.
Going through the process of, yeah, exactly. Going through the process of like getting overwhelmed and running away and procrastinating and putting it off, et cetera, et cetera. Like, yeah, I think I'm learning to accept that that is just something that I innately have to deal with and figuring out how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Over to you.
If you could plant a garden that grows anything other than plants, what would you grow and why?
Money.
You can grow anything. You can grow.
Money is the first thing. Money again. And then I would grow bananas and mangoes and strawberries. Maybe weed. I don't smoke weed, but my friends smoke weed, so it'd actually be quite beneficial for them. Yeah, I'll say money, mango, bananas, and weed. But it has to be Jamaican mango specifically, because the mangoes that you sell in Tesco's chopped up is not real. So I want the mangoes that I have when I'm abroad back home in Jamaica.
Are you an East Indian? Are you a Julie mango?
I'm like, not going to lie. Kind of I'm not a mango connoisseur. Like? Okay. I went to Antigua this time last year. I was there on the veranda loving life. I had a mango and I bit into it and I said, wow, wow, I've been blown away. Because I've only been used to eating the mangoes that are chopped up, because I don't like, you know, mangoes, they're quite like,
wow, okay, yeah, messy. They're quite messy.
I don't mind eating with my hands. Like, I've had like pounded jam and stew with my hands before, for example, yeah, but going into that delicacy, yeah. I knew that that's what I was going to experience. But something like a mango, where, yeah, I know that I can alternatively have it chopped, I just eat it, I just buy the chopped one. So that's how I've had it for a long time. So maybe not since being a young child, I have not had mango out like raw from the fruit. So I went to Antigua last year and I bit into it in the morning. I've got a video of myself where I'm like near tears and I'm like, oh my days, this is what mango tastes like. And I couldn't believe it.
What have I been missing?
And I'll show you the video after. I'm literally just laughing the whole time because I'm like, this is insane. And I've ripped it off. So there's this little hairs right at the end, like a little naked bald head. Because I couldn't believe it. So I don't know what mango I had. I just know it was amazing. And I'd love to be able to have that in the mornings when I wake up. And bananas. I love bananas. Like, I go through bananas. Like, I am basically a monkey.
Oh, I hate bananas.
I love them.
Don't call yourself a monkey.
Do you know what I was going to say? I don't know if it's appropriate for the podcast. Listen, guys. I'm saying no. Okay, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. But the point of the matter is that I love bananas. And I eat them a lot. I have them in my smoothies, I have it by itself. And I only like them when they're really ripe. So that's why I'd like it to be in my garden, so I can just get it every day and just...
Okay,
fair. Because otherwise, they just go to waste. Like, right now, I've got a whole pack in my kitchen, and I'm like, okay, what banana bread am I making this time? Do you know what I mean? Gosh.
Yeah, fair.
What's something you regret not doing when you had the chance?
Oh, so many things. Breaking up with boyfriends. Definitely at the top of that list. I wish that I had pursued more sports when I was younger. Like, there are so many sports that I dabbled in but never really like focused on. And I think I probably would have played a sport more consistently, because I was quite good at basketball, actually.
Do you not feel like you could get into that now?
I could. I mean, it's funny because my sister just was, I was on the phone with her the other day, and we all used to play piano when we were younger, and now she's teaching herself all over again. Obviously, it's coming back a lot quicker. And I was just like, gosh, I should do something like that. Like, I really wish that I would, you know, that I would take up an activity, like a pastime or a hobby. I don't know what my hobbies are anymore. Like, obviously, I like to read, but, you know,
I was talking to my friend about this the other day. Hobby. I don't know what mine is either, but mine's probably the gym at the moment. I'll say it's probably because, like, for me, it is a hobby as opposed to it being like, well, it's a hobby and it's also free therapy or cheap therapy. On that note, exactly. I actually signed up to BetterHelp yesterday night.
Okay.
Because I told myself that after positive. My birthday,
I was going to...
I'll start therapy again. And I've still been avoiding it. And then yesterday, I thought to myself, I've got some shit I need to work on. And I signed up. So stay tuned, guys. We'll see if I actually pay the money. Because I've never done therapy before and had to pay. And now I'm seeing how much it is for weekly sessions. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It is. It's not cheap. Not cheap. Okay. Is it my turn to ask? No, but that's,
oh, the sport. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your turn.
Yeah. Do you have a memory of us that made you laugh? So what is your favorite memory of us? Full stop. Let me do it that way. I was going to say the funniest memory, but it can be anything. It can be sad. It can be funny. We also talk about trauma a lot, so.
So I can't think of like one clean cut example. But it's more about how it was made to feel. So I feel like, but it was when I was at your house and I was there with Kemi and then we got high. Well, the day before when that happened, like I had come to your house and we had like dinner, we had like food and like your other friends were there. And I just felt like I was like, at home from home. And I think I referenced that to a different answer. So yeah, that was probably one of my favorite memories because it was like, at that point I was like, oh, this is real like friendship here.
Because
I don't really feel like this often with like different people. Yeah. And then we got high.
And I guess that speaks to the idea. I guess that speaks to the testament of what I've said previously as well around kind of like you just being able to like slot right into my friendship group as well. You made it very easy.
Yeah.
Okay. It's your turn.
So describe a time where you felt like I truly understood you.
Time when you truly understood me. You know, I think it shows up in like small ways. I wouldn't say it's like one specific moment, similar to what you just said, our own kind of like feelings. It's like, you'll say something like, let's do this. Let's do X because I know you like Y. You know what I mean? Or let's structure it this way because I know that this is the way your brain works. So I think it's more so like deeply embedded in the way we navigate our friendship in terms of saying, I know Roshan's not going to like this, so let me not do it this way. Or I know that Leanne's brain works in this way, so let's structure the task in this way. Or I know Leanne's going to ask me a barrage of questions, so let me distract her so that we can plan this surprise appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't know there was a surprise that you were planning for me, so I didn't have the opportunity to ask questions, because had I known that there was a surprise, I would have, like, drilled everybody and their mother to death about what the surprise was.
Yeah. So I had that experience like, when it was your hen night. Asking me bad questions.
So,
yeah.
You know, so I think it's the small ways that make a difference.
I feel like you're like that. And I also feel like you're, I know it wasn't about you, but I'm making it about you. I feel like you're very attentive. Do you feel like you're attentive? You've been told that before.
I try to be.
Mm-hmm. Your final question.
What is the core value or belief that you hold that you feel like is core to who you are as a person. Like if you had one defining moral value belief, what would that be? To say, like, if somebody said, give me your value that leads and drives your entire life, like this represents who Roshan is.
That's an easy one for me, I think. My answer to that is, how someone acts is a reflection of their character, and how you choose to respond is a reflection of yours.
Mm.
That's what my core values and belief is. I feel like I say that all the time to people, mainly people that are younger than me or people that I'm like, I'm giving advice to or counsel to. Like, I was talking to someone before the school and they were telling me a conversation they had of an ex-partner. And when they told me something they said to the ex-partner, they said something and I was like, wow, that was a really low blow. And what they said they had a right to say, but the bit that they peppered back in the middle of it was not required. And I said to them,
yeah,
that wasn't very nice. And they said, we didn't hear what they said to me. And I said, but I'm not talking about what they said to you. I'm talking about your character.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a very nice thing. And they were like, yeah, but I've said it now. And I'm like, but am I addressing it now? That was a really horrible thing you did. And the reason why you said that was to hurt them. You didn't say it for any other reason because your point of what you was trying, the message you was trying to convey was conveyed. You sprinkled that in to get underneath their skin and make them feel less than and make them feel devalued and all these sorts of negative traits. But why would you want to make someone who you once loved feel like that?
Mm-hmm. That is so true.
And I couldn't get my head around it. And I was like, and I'm not saying that like I'm like, I don't always necessarily navigate conflict the best or like situations the best, but I can probably count on one hand the amount of times I've said something to someone and you could consider it a low blow. Not that I always say things right.
Purely for the purpose of hurting them.
Wild. Yeah. I think that's really, really wild. I think it's really, really wild. And this person I'm really close to, and I've spoken to them before about, they have, so I think they are aware they have a character flaw, which is like, they say quite mean and like harsh things. And I don't think they always pay attention to the impact that it has on people. But yeah, for me, it was just crazy. And I'm like, why when I'm talking to you about your character, you keep telling me about what they said? That's so irrelevant.
Mm. Very true.
It's so irrelevant. It's not a defining thing here. But yeah, I think
that's such an important, such an important belief or like peace lesson for us all to follow.
Ironically, okay, my last question, because you started, is about character flaws.
Okay.
This is my original question. It's not one that I added in. So my last question is, what's a character flaw that you have that you haven't decided to work on?
Because
when I write these questions, sometimes I write the questions based on things I'm thinking about for myself. So when I wrote that question, I thought about a character flaw that I am actively not working on. So for you, you may be working on that might not apply to you. All right. So what's a character flaw that you have that either you are working on or you're not working on, but you're aware of? So for example, that person, their character flaw that they're actively not working on is their deep cutting words that they say to people.
That's a good question. What is a flaw that I am currently not working on? I don't know. I feel like a lot of the flaws that I think that I have, I work on, but maybe not consistently. So maybe what I would say is a flaw that I have that I'm not working on as consistently as I'd like to, because things, become tricky, is learning how to prioritize appropriately. Like, I always say, for instance, that I don't necessarily have, like, I have a core group of best friends, but within that core group, they're all pretty much on the same level. Like, I don't treat them differently because
I've known one the longer or something, the other.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think, and this is not specific to friendships, but just life in general, that some things are just more important and some people are just more important, and figuring out how to prioritize those people and those activities or responsibilities, I think is an ongoing journey for me, because I think they shift from time to time, and adjusting to that shift is something that's really difficult for me, or has proven difficult for me.
Yeah. Well, we've come to the end of an episode. That was a good answer. It actually relates to something I was talking to my brother about the other day in regards to texting, because I text my brother and he takes very long to respond. Yeah, very, very long. Days.
You've said that.
And there was a day where I text him, and let's say I text him in the morning at 6 a.m. and he didn't respond to the next day. But in that time, I watched him call my mom, call his girlfriend, text his girlfriend throughout the whole day, and talk to my little sister. And I'm like, but you haven't responded to my text. This is crazy, because you clearly have availability. So that happened a while ago, a few months ago. Then the other day I texted him something that warranted a response. And again, he didn't respond, but he had been communicating with his girlfriend. And that's the issue, isn't the girlfriend, by the way. He could have been communicating with my mom. I'm more meaning communicating with another person. And so we had a conversation. And I said to him, I think it's a bit crazy. So we had a conversation where I had taken long to respond because I was at work, or not because I was dallying. And I said to him, as someone who consistently, or is actually within their character to not respond quickly, like, that's just how you are. You should never ever have the audacity to comment on how quick I respond to you, because that's an expectation that you can never meet and you don't meet. And then I made the point of saying, even the day before, I messaged you and you didn't respond, but you was kicking on the phone with your missus and doing all sorts. And his response back was, for Shan, you're my sister and that is my girlfriend. And so why would you expect me to respond to you as quickly as I respond to her? And I just thought to myself, we look at this thing very differently.
Very differently.
Because I would never, and I'm not saying that like he's wrong. I spoke to one of my friends about it and she agreed with him, and that's fine. I'm not saying like anyone's wrong, anyone's right, I'm more important, I'm less important, because actually the role we play in your life is very different. So there shouldn't even be a comparison in that essence. But what I am saying is, I think it's very wild that as your sister, your older sister, in fact, who plays a very good role as older sister, and I'm only putting that in for people that are listening who have whatless siblings that aren't understanding the levels to this, that if I'm messaging you and you think it's okay to just respond willy-nilly, but you're talking to every Tom, Dick and Harry in between, for me, that's distasteful. And I have to say to him, I need to do some reflecting to work out what I need to do for this to feel more balanced for me. Because right now, this doesn't feel balanced for me. And it's not something that I'm comfortable with. And I respect that you've told me that I should look at this differently, but it doesn't sit well with me. So there's something I need to do within myself to say this sits well with me. And even if that means I drop back a bit and I don't do the same things I used to do in the same way, and that then feels better for me, then that's what I have to be. But I thought to myself, the audacity.
So be it,
You think my brother texts me and my man that I'm seeing texts me, I'll respond to the man at 8 a.m. I'll talk to my brother the next day. Never.
Yeah, no, that's wild. Even if you respond to the man first, there should be like a 15-minute period within which you're responding to your brother as well, or your sister, or your sibling.
You feel like you're a doctor in a high-pressure environment, you know, and you can only respond to one person. And by the time you responded to her, you now got to do a patient. I would understand, but you really wasn't even working on that day. The fuck? No,
and nobody's gonna die if you are late for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was crazy, but I'm glad I was able to rant at the end of this. Hilarious. Love this for me. Hope you got to enjoy the episode, guys.
Have to get the rant in. Bye, folks. Thank you so much for listening to the Unapologetically Black podcast, brought to you by the Dope Black Woman CIC.
If you like this episode, please tweet us, DM us, or even message us at Dope Black Woman across all socials.
Unapologetically Black.
This season, stream Sky Sports on Now.
Players are ready and now we're off. What a nutmeg! Now he must score!
Now how has he missed that? Now that was death or a pen!
Now the ref's got to send him off. Now that must be the match winner.
Head to nowtv.com and stream Sky Sports with no contract.
Now that is world class.
18 plus UK only, 6 months saver option also available.